In your Bibles tonight, Esther chapter number 6, and as we made our way now into the 6th chapter of this book of the Bible, the main character, of course, is Esther, but we know some other characters, King Ahasuerus, who is the king at this time, and he rules over 127 provinces in this part of Persia, and Ahasuerus makes a terrible mistake. He asks his wife, Vashti, at a drunken party to display her beauty. And Vashti says, "No way, Jose." And so Vashti is excommunicated, expelled, and no longer the queen. Ahasuerus calls for all of the fair, beautiful virgins of the land to be brought together. And out of a large group of ladies that are presented to him, he chooses one, the character of our book, Esther. Esther is a Jew. She keeps this a secret. And Ahasuerus, even as we come to chapter number 6 of the book of Esther, he doesn't know yet that she is a Jew. Esther has a father-like figure, often referred to as her uncle. Wasn't exactly her uncle, but Mordecai was the man that God had charged with raising Esther. And we've come to a place now where Haman is the bad guy. We've got the other character, Haman. Haman, he is bad news. I spent a lot of time last week talking about Haman. And Haman ultimately built his own gallows. And Haman, this really bad guy, hates Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow when everybody else around is bowing. Mordecai wouldn't bow to Haman. And it made Haman so angry that Haman's decided that the best thing to do is not only punish Mordecai, but have all the Jews in King Ahasuerus' provinces put to death. And so it's a difficult moment. There, in about a year's time, the command that has come from Haman under the authority of Ahasuerus is that on a certain day, in about a year's time, all the Jews are going to be put to death. And so we meet up and we see Mordecai in sackcloth and ashes, worried and concerned and praying and burdened because all of his people are going to be put to death. And then you've got Esther, who has been placed in a place of authority and opportunity, the Bible says, for such a time as this. And we come, as we change from chapter 5 into chapter 6, it really is a tense moment for Mordecai, for the Jews, for Esther. It's a tense moment. And there's a lot of things up in the air. There's a lot of variables way, way out of Esther and Mordecai and the Jews' control. And when we come to chapter number 6, there's such a beautiful reminder to God's people through the story of Mordecai and Esther and Haman, that bad dude. Such a great lesson for us to remind us and remember. Tonight's message is titled this: Don't Forget God Is at Work. Don't forget God is at work. And when we come to this moment, Haman, who is really second in command in this kingdom under Ahasuerus, Haman is so mad. At the end of chapter number 5, he has taken the advice and counsel of his wife and his friends, and he has built a set of gallows. And Haman's plan is, tomorrow morning, before I go and have a second banquet with the king and Queen Esther, tomorrow morning, I'm going to air my grievance to the king, and I'm going to have Mordecai hanged on the gallows that I had built last night. But don't forget, God is at work. Let's read together chapter number 6 of the book of Esther. We'll begin in verse number 1. On that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning, and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men, and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. And what a fascinating chapter of Scripture. I want to say fun. I love this story, and I love this turn of events. Now, the carnal side of me, when I can't, and I've mentioned this before, but I can't wait to get to heaven because I'm certain God has got a system better than our video system, but I really want to see Haman's face when he has plotted and planned the perfect reward for himself, the ultimate honor for himself. I just can't wait to see his face when the king says, all right, all that great honor that you want to bestow on a man you want to honor, he says, do it to Mordecai. I can't wait to see his face. How many of you are like me? I just can't wait to see what Haman's face looked like. Boy, Haman just got gutted right there on the spot. Now, the carnal side of me rejoices because Haman gets what's coming to him. The spiritual side of me actually needs to and has to mourn inside a bit because Haman is so deceived by self. So deceived by his flesh. He's so overcome with his own rotten wickedness. He gets what he deserves. But my heart breaks. He's made such a mess. But old Haman, he makes a big mess. Something we need to remember is don't forget God is at work. God is at work. Let's just begin here. We'll work our way through this passage of Scripture. Verse number 1, the Bible says this, on that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Look at the Bible, it says, on that night. Now, when we read the book of Esther, we see over and over and over again the providence of God at work. And I want to remind you something. Point number 1 is this, that God is at work in life's details. God is at work in life's details. You see, when we think about the details and the issues and the things that are going on in our lives, we see them one at a time in a short period. But God understands and working to gather all things for our good. I'm reminded of a story I heard, and I can relate to this because I remember as a child crawling around under the quilting rack. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you talk about the quilting rack? And my grandmother many times had groups of ladies over, and until she was way up in years, she had groups of ladies that came over and they quilted together. And I remember as a child seeing what the quilt looked like from the underside of the rack. You look at the underside of the quilt, and the underside of the quilt is a bunch, is an array of weird looking strings dangling here and there and everything, and it doesn't make perfect sense. But if you look only from the underside, you think, my, this is a mess. But when you get up and you get tall enough to see down on the quilt, then you can understand that there's a lot of purpose in all the mess that you can see from the underside. And when we think about the way God is working, I'm not telling you that I can understand everything God is doing all the time. I don't even begin to try. But I can rest in the fact that we know that God is working all things together for good. And from the heavenly perspective, the details of life are being worked out by God, and He is good and He loves you. And in Esther and Mordecai's situation and the Jew situation at this time, even old wicked Haman and Ahasuerus, when I see Ahasuerus, I think, he's just a big dummy. He's just a big dummy. But God is at work. And it happens on this night that King Ahasuerus can't sleep. It's fascinating. Charles Spurgeon said this about Ahasuerus. He said, Ahasuerus is master of 127 provinces, but not master of 10 minutes of sleep. I'm fascinated to think about that. I don't care how big we get on this earth, we have not even begun to have any type of power or authority. About the time you start to feel real big and bad and proud, you remember something. You have no control over the weather. You have no control over the genetics that are inside of your body that are producing good things and even bad things. But God does. And folks, we shouldn't be afraid when we realize God's in control. If you are submissive to King Jesus, you should rejoice in the fact that God is in control. You should rest in the fact that God's in control, because I don't know about you, but I know for a fact if I'm in control, I'd make a big mess. But God is at work in life's details. On this particular night, the very night that Haman has been counseled by his wife and his friends to build a gallows to hang Mordecai on tomorrow, on that night, Ahasuerus couldn't sleep. On that night when Mordecai and Esther and the Jews were all in turmoil, and it was a turning point and a transition, on that night, Ahasuerus couldn't sleep. And I'm encouraged to know that God is moving and working and has that kind of power and control that He can even call someone of great power to lose sleep one night in order to put into play and orchestrate the events that are best for you and I and God's people. God's at work in life's details. That night, the Bible says on that night, he could not sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Now, I think that's kind of fascinating. What did Ahasuerus decide? He's having a little bit of sleeplessness on this particular night. And what does he decide to do? Now, this is the king. He could call for anything. He's got a multitude of wives and concubines. He's got access to anything literary or entertaining in the available at that moment in history. But for some reason, on that night, he calls for that book, the book of the Chronicles, a book of records that have been recorded. Not only did he call for the book of Chronicles, but he called for the book of Chronicles, and the book of Chronicles is opened up to an event that occurred some 5 years ago. And the man reads to King Ahasuerus the record of Mordecai. The record of Mordecai, the Bible says in verse number 2, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana. Can you imagine having a name like Bigthana? I wonder if there's a little Thana. Bigthana. You should name your children that. Big Phaina. I like it. Big Phaina and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. Now, what's he reading? He says he's reading about Mordecai, this man who stays at the gate, a man that overheard the conversation, a man that saved the day. Keep your finger right there in chapter 6, verse number 2, and look with me back to chapter number 2, verse number 21. I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but I mentioned to you, pay attention, remember, because we're going to come back to the last three verses of chapter 2 in the very near future. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 21, that it says this, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. The thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now, I can't imagine, at this moment, Mordecai's having to deal with something that's uncomfortable. In chapter number 2, the end of chapter 2, he's having to deal with something uncomfortable. He's overheard some trash, and he's going to have to do what's right with it. It's an uncomfortable moment. It's a moment that's kind of, I hate this kind of stuff. I hate to have to deal with this stuff. But God is going to use it 5 years later in order to be a key part of bringing about the salvation of the nation of Israel. We can't forget that. And God's going to use it. Now, the next question that we have to see is, has anything been done to give praise to Mordecai? No. For 5 years, this has been tucked away in the book of the Chronicles, and God is going to bless it. Folks, I want you to know something. God is at work in life's details. He was at work in that night. He was at work in that book. He was at work in that story, the story of Mordecai and Bigthana and Teresh. God was at work. Now, look, Mordecai had no way to know it. And the first time we read through this book of the Bible, we didn't have any idea how God was going to work through it. But God is at work in the details of life. I want to challenge you to do something. You come to the moments of life that are very challenging. You wait patiently on the Lord. You trust in Him and let Him prove Himself faithful. You get carried away and caught up and burdened down with the burdens of life. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. God is at work in life's details. You have to deal with things that are less than fun. Wait on the Lord. God's at work in life's details. And God's going to put together the details. God is going to make a beautiful work in His plan, through His plan, and through our lives. God's at work in life's details. Let's rest in that. Let's rest in that. And Mordecai and Esther and the Jews in this story are a great picture and reminder to all of us that God is at work in life's details. Number two, not only is God at work in life's details, but number two, God is at work in lengthy delays. God is at work in lengthy delays. Now, I want you to see what the Scripture says here in verse number 3. The king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." Now, this is kind of fascinating. About 5 years ago now, Mordecai has literally saved the king's life. It's a big deal. But what happens? Mordecai saves the king's life. Esther testifies to the king in Mordecai's name that this was going to happen. It's proven. It's found out. And these guys are taken care of. But what kind of reward does Mordecai get? I'll tell you what he got. He got a big fat zero. He got no praise. He got no glory. He got no reward, no award. He got no accolade. He got nothing. He got nothing. But guess what? In about 5 years' time, God is going to use this moment from 5 years ago in order to bring about His great work. Now, I can't help but believe that this is here in God's Word as a reminder to all of us that when we're waiting on the Lord, that's good. When we don't understand and we have to wait, that's okay. Look, God's at work in life's lengthy delays. You're here tonight and you're waiting on an answer. Hey, just keep waiting. Wait patiently on the Lord. God is at work. You can be sure He's at work. And He's going to use the details of the past. He's going to use the details of your life. He's going to use the good things that you've done for His glory to bring about His great will. Hey, look, wait on the Lord. I never tire of saying it because it's so important in our Christian lives. Always in the Bible, waiting is a good thing. Always in the Bible, waiting is a good thing. We love to wait, don't we? I just love waiting, especially in the checkout line at Walmart. I love it. I'm just kidding, I don't. But anytime you're waiting on God, anytime you're waiting on the Lord, you're in a good spot. Just remember, waiting on God is good. The Bible says it like this: but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, look, wait on the Lord. And so He is in the lengthy delays. I don't know, maybe Mordecai a few times along the way. This is speculation. Maybe Mordecai a few times along the way. I tell you what, you can save the king's life around here and nobody even gives a rip. You know, you can save the king's life around here and nobody gets any praise. But this Haman, this bad, bad Haman. But we see God's going to use the lengthy delay in a big way. He's putting all the details together. So just remember something. God is at work in life's details. Number two, God is at work in lengthy delays. And finally, number three, God is at work in little devils. In little devils. Now, Haman is a little devil. Have you ever dealt with a little devil? You know, we have them, don't we? Co-workers, employees, family members, little devils. How many of you have ever dealt with a little devil? Yeah. That's good. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're dealing with one right now, but there's a good chance that numbers of you are. Somebody's volunteering to raise their hand about dealing with a little devil right now. And that's good. I want to remind you of something. God is at work in little devils. Now, we know what's going on here with Haman. Old Haman has got a plan to hang Mordecai. And not only is he going to hang Mordecai, but he's going to kill every Jew in 127 provinces of King Ahasuerus. But I want you to remember something. God is at work in the little devils. God's going to take care of business. God's going to protect His people. God's going to see His will come through. God is at work in the little devils. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. The king said, "Who's in the court?" Now, this is fascinating. The Bible says, who in the court? Now, Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Now, the king has just finished having read to him the Chronicles. He's asked, has anybody done anything to honor Mordecai for what he did 5 years ago? His helpers say, no one has. And so the king says, which one of my princes, which one of my helpers is out there, is out in the court, is out in the outer court this morning? And someone says, well, Haman's out there. Now, Haman's a man on a mission. He skipped breakfast because he was on a mission. He was going to not bow and put up with Mordecai one more day. He's already got the gallows built, and he's going to talk to the king. He's going to have Mordecai hanged this morning. You can just imagine Haman's out there wringing his hands. You ever been outside the doctor's office waiting to get in? Outside the lawyer's office waiting to get in? You got there early because this is an important matter. Because that's the way Haman is right now. He's anxiously waiting. The king calls him in. The Bible says in verse number 6, so Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done of the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? Now let me tell you something. Pride comes before a fall. And old Haman, he's got it bad. I read this today and I thought it was a great description, an accurate description of Haman. David Guzik said this. He said, Haman was a tragic man who would only believe he had done well when he heard applause. What a tragic man was old Haman. Haman thought, my lands, who else would the king want to honor but me? And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come up with a plan that makes me feel really, really, really good. And so Haman answers in verse number 7. Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, and that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And so Haman comes with this plan. Get the king's apparel, get the king's horse, get a prince, one of the king's princes, and have him parade this man through town, declaring this is what happens to a man that the king honors. Now, when I read this, I think that's not any fun. I mean, if you're going to honor a man, give him something that he can eat. Give him something that he can spend. Give him something that he can use. Who cares about borrowing the king's coat and riding the king's horse through town and letting the king's prince brag on you for a minute? That's empty and shallow. And I can imagine, okay, I want to see Mordecai's face as he's riding around through town with the king's coat on, with the king's horse. And, you know, this is what happens. I mean, big whoopee, you know. But to a man that only cares about the praise and applause of man, one, he's going to miss God's will. One, he's going to be a mean devil to deal with. But to a man that is only concerned about the praise of man and placement in this kingdom, this worldly wicked kingdom, and in this world, the praise of man is going to be more important than anything else. And this is not something that's going to be appealing to a man after God's heart. Here you've got Haman. He said, oh man, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to wear that coat. I'd like to ride that horse. I'd like to have somebody singing my praises all through town as everybody bows to me again. And the king says, that's great news. I like that plan. If that's what you think somebody will like, that's good. Here's what I want you to do in verse number 10. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the feet, sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. I'd like to hear the tone of voice that Haman's using. I want to see his face again. I want to hear his tone of voice. I want to see his demeanor. Haman, he is literally getting what's coming to him. But here he goes leading Mordecai, his arch nemesis, the very man he'd hoped to have hung by now, leading through town, singing his praises. The Bible says in verse 12, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. When you're mourning with your head covered, this was just like you'd lost your nearest relative. It's like a death had occurred. He's mourning. And the Bible says in verse 13 that Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. You remember yesterday he came home mad as a hornet because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. And he told all of his family about how rich he was. He told his wife how many children he has, if she needed to know. He told everything. He bragged and bragged on himself. But then he said, but none of this makes any difference. I can't stand Mordecai. And so his family tells him, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to just build a gallows and have him hung on it. So Mordecai had his gallows built. The Bible says, then in verse number 13, that Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, and everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men, and Zeresh, his wife. These are the same people who just told him yesterday to build the gallows. This is a reminder you need to be careful where you get your counsel and advice from. Then said his wise men, and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him. but shalt surely fall before him. Yesterday, they was all about putting Mordecai to death. But today, they said, if all of these details have orchestrated the way they have today, and Mordecai is of the seed of the Jews, he's one of God's people, I think these folks began to wise up a little bit. I was like, whoa, Haman may have a lot of power and authority and money and influence in this society, but when he has to face off with God, the God of the Jews, you know what they began to think about? They began to think about the plagues of Egypt. They began to think about the parting of the Red Sea. They began to think about parting of the Jordan River. They began to think about the walls of Jericho. They began to think about all that God had done and orchestrated through David and Solomon. And they began to think about all the history of the Old Testament and the power of God, the people of God. And they said, whoa, if you've begun to fall to this man who's of the seed of the Jews, the Bible says, and his family said, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. The Bible says in closing this chapter, verse 14, and while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlain and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. You'll surely fall. There's a couple things to remind us of. One, if you choose to work against God, you'll surely fall. I don't care what friends and family and the world's counsel is. If their counsel is against God and God's people, you'll surely fall. And Haman makes a terrible mistake. We should be mindful of Haman's great mistake. But also, we should be reminded of this great truth. God is at work in the little devils. You think right now, there's no way in the world that you can get victory over this person that's giving you so much grief. Let me tell you, if you'll keep trusting the Lord, keep doing what's right, don't play in the mud and the muck and sinful behavior like other people do. If you'll keep waiting and trusting the Lord, God is at work in the little devils. And we can be sure of a couple things. Be sure your sins will find you out. And you can also be sure of this. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're reminded that God is at work. God is at work. Man, it's so easy to get discouraged when this person opposes you and this person gives you grief and this situation's coming down the pike. Hey, don't forget this week, God is at work. In life's details, in lengthy delays, and in little devils. It's always right to choose the Lord. And Esther and Mordecai pave the way and prove the concept that trusting the Lord always works out. Put God first. You'll be glad you did. He's faithful. Let's pray.